Welcome to Today on Broadway for Friday, March 31st, 2017. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini. James is seeing the Broadway production of Sweat as I am recording this right now, so I'm going to guide you into your Friday all by my lonesome. Also, to brighten up your weekend, tomorrow, believe it or not, a new episode of Literally Patty Murin the Podcast with a very special guest whom you might have heard on this show and across Broadway radio before, and if not here, pretty much on any other theater podcast you've ever listened to. I'll give you those details at the end of the episode, a little incentive, a little carrot to dangle in front of you to keep you here until the end. Okay, on to the news. Yesterday, the universally adored Tony winner Harvey Fierstein caused a bit of a firestorm due to his comments in an interview with The Hollywood Reporter. In the article, Fierstein told reporter Ashley Lee about some changes that he's made to the teleplay for the upcoming Bye Bye Birdie Live that differ from the beloved stage show and movie. In addition to some changes in the scenes and orders and songs, which is pretty commonplace in screen adaptations, for example, the musical will close with the Ed Sullivan performance like it did in the movie, although it appears at the end of Act 1 on stage. Fierstein also made some adjustments to the script to accommodate the wishes of Jennifer Lopez, who is both the executive producer of Bye Bye Birdie Live and the star, as she will be playing Rosie. These changes will highlight Rosie's struggles as a Puerto Rican woman about to hit middle age and in a relationship with a man afraid of commitment. But the thing that's really ticked off a lot of people, and I think undeservedly so, is this little paragraph. Fierstein said, quote, "I want to be true to the time it takes place. But, at the same time, having Rosie be Albert's secretary whom he's having an affair with is a little sexist and old-fashioned. I didn't see any reason for that. So, I changed that. I made them both high school teachers. He's the English teacher who writes a song, and she's the music teacher who says, I've got a great kid with a great voice. He ends up being Conrad Birdie, who's supposed to only take one summer off to promote the record, but turns into a star. It's been 8 years, and Rosie just wants to go back to their real lives. It really makes a lot more sense that way." Much of the online fervor centers around Fierstein's use of the word affair. Since every theater lover has either seen or been in an amateur production of Bye Bye Birdie, we're all aware that neither Albert nor Rosie are married to anyone, let alone each other, so it is not an affair in the extramarital sense. However, many people were taking this as some sort of indication that Harvey Fierstein didn't understand either the narrative of Bye Bye Birdie or the satire with which it was delivered back in its original 1960 Broadway run. However, to me, I think what Harvey's actually focusing on is the fact that, in the term affair, he's more talking about the fact that Albert was in a relationship with his secretary, which might have been more common back in the 60s, but today would be looked at with a little bit more suspicion. So while Fierstein didn't go into details about how these changes would manifest in the teleplay, it seems to me that unless they completely create new scenes to open Bye Bye Birdie Live, most of these changes will come as just the backstory, the origin story for Albert and Rosie. He did say that there would be some tweaks made to the opening song. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the beloved opener and English teacher will be repurposed with slightly changed lyrics. That's where I think a lot of these changes will come in. Now, perhaps call me naive, but it seems to me that there's a whole lot of scuttlebutt over something that will have very little impact over the final television product. What do you think? Let me know at Broadway Radio on Twitter or on Facebook or on my account on Twitter at BWWMATT. Moving on to some other filmed musical news. At this week's CinemaCon, which is nothing like the movie equivalent of Comic-Con, CinemaCon is actually a convention in which movie theater owners get to see information and maybe some previews about upcoming films so that they can have an idea as to how to schedule their screens during the high-demand summer months. Well, at CinemaCon, Tony-winning song and dance man Hugh Jackman took to the stage to introduce some footage from The Greatest Showman, Fox's upcoming big-budget musical. As we've talked about before, the musical is a new take on the story of P.T. Barnum of circus fame. It features music and lyrics from Oscar winners and Tony nominees, at least for now, Justin Paul and Benj Pasek. Jackman dazzled the audience with some banter and talking about how this movie was a bit of a risk. But despite that, it's risks like these that are going to propel the business forward, he said. Jackman said the film, quote, is a fantastical rags-to-riches tale, and he continued, it is a celebration of, quote, creativity and what is unique about each and every one of us. The preview footage included everything from singing bearded ladies to Zendaya working out on a trapeze, Michelle Williams ballroom dancing across the New York City skyline, and hold on to your hats, Zac Efron tap dancing on a bar. I have a feeling that there's some theater folks that might be interested in checking this one out. The Greatest Showman is scheduled for a Christmas Day release later this year. Throughout the week, we've told you news about Once on This Island officially announcing its Broadway intentions. And we've also told you about some recent Equity casting notices that have given us a little bit of a hint as to what musicals are coming down the pike. Well, yesterday, those two types of storylines intertwined when an official Equity casting notice went out for a staged reading of Once on This Island that will happen in June to prepare for its upcoming Broadway run, which is scheduled to begin on November 9th at a Broadway theater to be named later. As we talked about at the time, a December 2016 workshop featured some familiar names, including Patrice Covington, Quentin Earl Darrington, Charity Angel Dawson, Michael Kilgore, and more. Tony nominee Michael Arden will direct a show that features an iconic score from Lynn Ahrens and Stephen Flaherty. Yesterday, the American Dance Machine for the 21st Century announced that they would be renaming the Fred and Adele Astaire Awards to honor one of the most iconic dancing stars of the stage and screen, Cheetah Rivera. The nominations for the newly christened Cheetah Rivera Awards for Dance and Choreography will be announced on May 1st, and the awards themselves will be held on September 11th. Last fall, you might remember that the incomparable Angela Lansbury told my Broadway World colleague Richard Ridge that she would not be coming back to Broadway in a revival of Enid Bagnold's British drama, The Chalk Garden. However, yesterday we did find out that she would be doing The Chalk Garden, but just in a one-night-only benefit performance for the acting company. The iconic Tony winner will lead the cast on Monday, June 9th at 7 p.m. at the K Playhouse at Hunter College, and this staged reading will be directed by Frank Dunlop. Tickets will go on sale on April 19th. Show-only tickets may be purchased exclusively through the K online. General tickets will be available from $95 to $350, but for priority seating, you can get tickets for $500, and starting at $1,000, you can not only get tickets to the staged reading, but also a dinner following the performance featuring the cast at the historic Union Club. We'll have all of that ticket information in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com. Before we get going, this news just came into my inbox as I'm recording, and I'm going to read from our Broadway World article. ComingSoon.net has reported that Jon Favreau's live-action remake of The Lion King may acquire the Queen as its female lead, as Beyoncé Knowles is reportedly the frontrunner for the role of Nala, the story's leading lioness. Though she hasn't yet accepted the role, the report claims that the pop icon is Favreau's first choice for the role. Knowles would join James Earl Jones and Atlanta star Donald Glover, who have already been announced as Mufasa and Simba, respectively. Favreau will direct the film, as he has many other films for Disney, including last year's The Jungle Book, and it is currently being fast-tracked to the screen. Mainly because I don't really listen to any popular contemporary music. I am not necessarily a Queen Bey devotee, but I do understand how supremely talented she is. So I think it'd be really cool to have her voice in this film because, obviously, even though it's live action, she's not actually going to play a lion, but who knows, maybe. Okay, finally, I promised the reveal, the biggest reveal in Broadway radio history. Patty Murin's special guest on the next episode of Literally Patty Murin will be Broadway Records own Robbie Rizel, the podfather of all theater podcasts. They talk about, I was on the recording session and listened to the whole thing and edited it, and it's just bonkers how many fun things they talk about. And I think I might have gotten them to agree to have Robbie direct Patty's next cabaret show. So trust me, it's definitely worth the listen. So check that out in this feed on Saturday. All right, that's all I've got. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt, and subscribe to Something Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Yesterday, we released an episode where Jen and I counted down, I guess, our top 10 movies that make us cry. My list is really a hodgepodge and all over the place, and as I explained, I don't really know how I ranked them, but I ranked them in a way that felt natural. Anyway, as James told you yesterday, they've got kind of a disjointed show because Peter Felicia has a drama desk meeting on Sunday when they normally record, but he did record some reviews ahead of time. So check that out on Sunday, and James and I will be back to talk to you on Monday.